Gita, 5th chapter, text number 12. Yukta karma palantyaktva
Yukta karma palantyaktva
Shanti ma pruti naistiki
Shanti ma pruti naistiki
Ayukta kama karena
Ayukta kama karena
Kale saktoni bhajyate
Kale saktoni bhajyate
Yukta karma palantyaktva
Yukta karma palantyaktva
Shanti ma pruti naistiki
Shanti ma pruti naistiki
Ayukta kama karena
Ayukta kama karena
Ale saktoni badyate
Ale saktoni badyate Yukta karma phalam chaktva
Yukta karma phalam chaktva
Shantim matnoti nashtikim
Shantim matnoti nashtikim
Ayukta karma karena
Ayukta kama karena
Ale saktoni badyate
Ale saktoni badyate
Yukta karma phalam chaktva
Shanti
man bhuti naistiki
Ayukta karma
karena
Ale
saktoni bhajate
Yukta karma
phalam chaktva Shanti Matnoti Naistiki Ayukta Karma
Karena
Phale Saktoni Bhajate
Yukta
Ha
One who is engaged in devotional service Karma Phalam The results of all activities Dhyaktva
Giving up
Shantim,
perfect peace.
Apnati,
cheese.
Naistikim,
unflinching.
Ayuktaha,
one who is not in Krishna consciousness.
Kamakarena,
for enjoying the result of work.
Pale,
In the result.
Sakta.
Attached.
Nimbadyate.
Becomes entangled.
Translation performed by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki the steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person is not in union with the Divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. Purport. The difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and a person in bodily consciousness is that the former is attached to Krishna, whereas the latter is attached to the result of his activities. The person who is attached to Krishna and works for him only is certainly a liberated person, and he has no anxiety over the results of his work. In the Bhagavatam, the cause of anxiety over the results of an activity is explained as being one functioning in the conception of duality, that is, without knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Thank you. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are transcendental, have no material effect. One is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness. But one who is entangled in profit calculation for sense gratification cannot have that peace. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Realization that there is no existence besides Krishna is the platform of peace and fearlessness. A steadily devoted soul attains an unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the Divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kramayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagara Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sarvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamscha Hare Krishna, Kuna, Sindhu, Rina, Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namaskute, Tata, Kanchana, Govrangi, Radhe, Vrinda, Maneshwari, Trishama, Namaskute, Devi, Pranamani, Hari, Priye, Panchakalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Devacha, Patita, Nambhava, Nebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo, Nama, Jai Shri, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasani Gopura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
So here in this verse, Krishna has explained the difference between the person who is in Krishna consciousness and the person who is not. So here, what is important that is explained in the verse in Sanskrit, the word yukta. So someone who is Krishna consciousness is called yukta karma phalam. That means that he engages in devotional service and he connects the result of all his activities to Krishna. So he's giving up this tyaktva, it means he's giving up this fruitive mentality that he does the activity for himself. So that's the tyag, that's the renunciation. When someone does the work and then he gives the results of his work to Krishna. So Krishna explained that in the 18th chapter that this is called tyag. Tyag means renunciation of the fruits. And Krishna explained also that the difference between the tyag and the sannyas. The sannyas means that one does the activity with the desire to please Krishna with that activity. So he doesn't do the activity to get the results and then offer the results to Krishna. But whatever activity he does it to please Krishna. So that's the difference between the sannyas and the tyag. So here this word yuktaha means that...
So tyag means without Krishna consciousness. Right? Tyag means just renouncing and offering themselves to Krishna.
Yeah, tyag means there is still there is attachment for the activity, so it's not completely purified. So you can say it is devotional service, but it's not pure devotional service. We could also call it as karma mishra bhakti, that the activity that is mixed, devotional activity mixed with the desire for the results.
So
Krishna is there, Krishna is involved, but he's not in the center. Because that's the difference, that in the sannyas, Krishna is in the center. So whatever you do, you just, the activity itself, you want to offer to Krishna.
Yeah, okay, I understand. But then,
so there is the detachment is involved, it's called Naishkarma, Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Yeah, okay. So then it's not that the act is just driving dreams.
It can be used
renouncing material with attachment to the spirit.
It can be also used for the impersonalists, the tyag, that they are practicing renunciation of the material world. But for devotee, it's the same thing, that we also try to renounce the material world. But for us, we accept the spiritual world. So the impersonalist, this is the difference. The impersonalist I don't speak about the Mayavada, I speak about the Jnanis, the impersonalists. They try to renounce the material world, but because they don't cultivate the attachment to the spiritual world, they end up in Brahma Jyoti. But the devotees, because devotional service is,
yeah, okay, and,
is made in
and
such
and
a way we
I'm
cultivate.
Just asking about Tiyak.
Yes.
So Tiyak exactly is you saying that it's Kama.
Yeah, we can say like that. We can say it's Sakama. Sakama karma. It depends how you look at it. It's like when you look in a glass of water and it's half filled with water. So you can look at it that it's half filled, then we call it a Sakama Karma Yoga. And when you look at it that it's half empty, then we call it Karma Mishra Bhakti. So like you have a devotee, he wants Krishna, but still he has a lot of material desires. So if you look at it that he wants to please Krishna, he wants to serve Krishna, then you look at it how the cup is full. And if you look at it and how much is their desires, material desires, you look how empty it is. So you can call it in both terms, the Acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they explain both these two viewpoints. But they are not contradictory, they speak about the same thing. Is it clear now?
It's okay.
Yeah, tyag means renunciation. Right? For example, someone goes to work and then he gets money from the work. But he does the work because he likes to work. So that's the material attachment for material work. And he's also attached to the results. But then he understands Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he offers some part of his salary, his money to Krishna. So that's called the renunciation of these fruits of his labor. So that's called the tyag.
So it still can be a devotee.
Sorry?
A tyag is still a devotee.
Yeah, here we're using the word tyag for a devotee. But you can also use it for impersonalists. But there you're not looking, they're offering the fruits to the Supreme.
Okay.
But they don't understand, they don't have knowledge about Bhagavan. They normally have knowledge about Brahma. Yeah. Is that clear?
Yes.
So, yeah, you can have this situation that someone does the work and then offer the results of his work to Krishna. So technically we can call it it's Sakama Karma Yoga or Karma Mishra Bhakti. And if the person, he wants to please Krishna with the activity itself, then we can call it Ananya Bhakti, pure devotional service. For him, it doesn't matter what kind of activity he does, what kind of work. He just wants to please Krishna. So whatever opportunity comes, he does that to please Krishna. So this is what Krishna explained in the 18th chapter. That's the perfection of renunciation. That whatever you do it to please Krishna. Yes?
What you said before about Sakama Karma on Bhakti.
Sakama Karma Yoga.
Yes, symbolic is Madhya tax.
Yes.
I don't see the reflection because.
Could you please come sit closer?
I'm okay. Thank you.
But it's just I don't hear you properly.
Okay, so, what I'm saying, I don't see the relation between a materially attached person, but you're saying that person is a tyagi. That is a contradiction. Tyagi means is renounced. But you're saying it's materially attached, right?
Yeah. Probably you haven't understood the example of the glass of water. It's the example of the glass of water. You have a glass of water, which is half filled with water and it's half empty. So our philosophy is achinta bheda tattva. So you can say it's half full, but it's also half empty at the same time. So it's the same thing. He's attached to the work, but he gives some part of his of the results of the fruits of the work to the absolute, to the supreme. So that's the renunciation. Giving up the results of your fruits, that's called renunciation. But doing the work out of material attachment, yeah, so that's material attachment, that's the sakama. Kama means there's the lust for the results. So that it's both, you know. So this is our philosophy, Achintya Veda Tattva, it means it's both.
Okay, tell me, let's see. We have all time we go renounce, and that's it. It's like a contradiction. Either you are attached or you are not.
No. This is the glass of water. You have a glass of water, it's half filled with water. So you can say it's half full of water, but it's half empty.
But my reason is very attached.
Huh?
If it's very attached, then it's...
If it's very attached, then it's 90% full of... Oh, no, 10% with water and 90% it's empty.
You don't call it kimakyaki because it's not renounced.
But some detachment is there. Yeah. So anything that is offered to the Supreme, that's renunciation, that's detachment. Because you have people, they don't offer anything to God. They just, even if you're on the street, you can meet people like that, they will not even look at you. They see from the distance, this is a religious person, they walk nearby, they don't even look at you. Because they don't want to have anything with God, with the Supreme. So, you can say that there is no renunciation for them, because they are not offering any results of their work to the Supreme, to Krishna.
So you think that Tyagi is undervoted?
Well, here we are using. I'm using this word tyagi for a devotee, just to show that difference between the tyag and the sannyas. So sannyas, anyone who does any kind of work to please Krishna is technically called sannyasi. So sannyasi is not just the fourth order of the ashram, but it's also doing the activity to please Krishna.
Oh, but sannyasis are not
So we are supposed to offer them respect because they are sannyasis, but we don't deal with them because they are mayavadis.
Okay. I found it out. Because I didn't see it. So I'm giving up the results of all activities. Is the wise calling inspiration? Yeah.
And what I'm saying is
giving up the result.
Here it says, here, the giving up of activities that are based on material desires is what the great learned man called the renounced order of life. So that's sannyas.
Yeah.
And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyag. So here it's very clear that you do the activity with the desire to please Krishna, you're giving up material desires. So we call that sannyas. And if someone does the activity because of the attachment, but he gives up the results of the activity, that's called tyag, renunciation.
And you say Krishna is in the center, maybe not the case.
Huh?
Maybe not the case.
In tyag,
sannyasis who are not devotees.
Yeah, that's what I said in the beginning, that this word tyag, renunciation, it can be used for both. It can be used for impersonalists and for the devotees, but we are using it here for the devotees,
okay,
just to show up what is pure devotional service and what is the difference between the devotional service that is mixed with desire for some material profit. You know, the difference between the karma mishra bhakti and karma yoga. So is it clear now? Still, there is some doubt.
Yeah, no, it's very important.
First.
Because you can have the jnanis, for example, that Krishna says that they offer their personality in the fire of impersonal Brahma. So it means they want to merge with the Brahma, with the Brahma Jyoti. So that's renunciation, that's tyaga. So the path to get out of this material world is the same for the materialist and for the devotee. In other words, it's the same for the impersonalist and for a devotee. It's the same thing. It's a renunciation of material, or the results of material activities. But for us, because we cultivate the devotion to Krishna, so for the devotees, they can go to the spiritual world, whereas the impersonalist, they just end up in Brahmajyoti for a very short time, and then they have to fall down again. So this is the glory of the devotional service, that it not only liberates you from the material world, but it brings you back to the spiritual world. Yes? Please, if you have some doubts.
No, it's okay.
No, I want to make sure it's clear, you know. I want to clarify this point, because this is the verse that Krishna actually explains what is the difference between a devotee and undevotee, you know. So this is important to understand, you know. So because then we can use this as introspection, we can see what are our material desires that we have to work on. So it can speed up the purification process. Because here trying to practice Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means we have to use the intelligence to discriminate. Yes?
How can we speed up the process of getting free from false ego?
Yeah, it's very simple. By serving the devotees, and serving the spiritual master. And by studying this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, these four books are the most important for us. So by understanding we are the servant of the servant, million times servant of a devotee, then our identity, that's our real identity. So with this understanding, we offer the service to the Vaishnavas, and to a guru, to the spiritual master, that now in one lifetime we can be completely purified from all material desires. This is the glory of this devotional process, that it takes only one lifetime. Actually, it takes just a moment. Like the gopis, they attain perfection in just a moment. It's the blink of eye. So this is the difference, the Vedic process of Varna Ashram. It takes a long, long time to get elevated. But our process of Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, it's very quick. And in one lifetime, you can get completely purified and go back to God.
And you mentioned Buddhi, intelligence. What is the role of karma and jnana in the pursuit of bhakti?
I was trying to say it, but then you asked the question before I could say it.
Okay.
So Buddhi Yoga, to explain it, it means we do the activity, karma, with the knowledge of Krishna, that's jnana, while thinking of Krishna, that's dhyana, with the desire to please Krishna, with the bhakti. So Buddhi Yoga is the complete process that involves karma, jnana, dhyana, and bhakti. So the chit potency means there's the knowledge and activity, and the vladini potency means the desire to please Krishna. So combination of vladini and chit shakti that creates the bhakti, the devotional service. So this is the process, the knowledge and activity, and the desire to please Krishna. So that's technically what we call Buddhi Yoga. You can call it also Nishkama Karma Yoga.
A combination of the Ladini Shakti and the Chit potency.
And the Chit Shakti.
The Chit Shakti is bhakti.
Yeah, that creates bhakti. Because if you have just one, if you just desire to please Krishna Bhakti, you don't do any activity, and have no knowledge, so that's the Sahajiya. And you just pretend to be a devotee. And then when you do the activity, with the knowledge, but without the desire to please Krishna, so that the smarta that are just the rules and regulations and dry speculative knowledge. So there's the combination of both. This creates the Buddha Yoga. That's the beauty. Normally in the material world, we are used to one or the other. We are either used to karma or jnana. And here we have the combination of both at the same time. So this is our philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It's one and different at the same time. So they both can be running at the same time. Karma and jnana. With the desire to please Krishna.
So it's activities in knowledge to please Krishna, is bhakti yoga.
Yes.
The soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. But when they come to the material world and they try to connect the senses with the sense objects, whereas in the spiritual world they try to bring Radha and Krishna together. Can you say something about that?
In the spiritual world, you also bring the senses together with the sense object. But the difference is that in the material world, it's with the desire of sense gratification, the desire to enjoying the pleasure when the senses meet with the sense object. Whereas in the spiritual world, it is done with the desire to please Krishna. So this material world is the reflection of the spiritual world. So here, this material energy is the shadow energy of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is all-pervading this material energy as a super soul. So here we are also dealing with the senses, meeting with the sense objects. It's also like meeting the Lakshmi Narayana, was meeting Radha and Krishna. So when the Radha and Krishna, when they meet, we feel pleasure. But here we're trying to misuse that pleasure for our own benefit. Whereas in the spiritual world, when you assist Radha in their service, to Krishna, through her servants, through the Sakis and the Manjaris, then that's done with the pleasure to please Krishna.
Say that the super soul has eyes, hands, legs, and faces everywhere. So these senses, they belong to the super soul. In the body, in this body, they belong to the super soul. And then the material energy is that's feminine. So bringing those two together, is that the same? It's like a perverted reflection of the soul serving Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So there is a.
Because it's the reflection.
Clear?
Yeah.
The super soul is the master of the senses of this world.
Yeah.
And the rest is
not only the super soul, but also the Virat.
Yeah.
Virat Rupa, the universal form. So we see because the universal form can see, you know, the eyes. So it's our eyes are actually the expansion from the universal form. So when we bring our eyes or our senses with the contact with the sense objects, so that's the same like when Lakshmi Narayan, when they meet, you know, because these are their representations.
Because the sense objects
so that
are representative of?
Our sense objects are just expansion from the Virat Purusha, which is also expansion from Gaura Vikasha Vishnu and Ego in this hierarchy ultimately is from Radha and Krishna. So everything comes from them.
My point was that the energy is the prakriti, it's the feminine energy, and then the senses are Purusha, they are from the super soul, it's the masculine, so bringing the energy, the object, and the sense together. And this is what is my point. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you can see that the soul can be only happy by assisting Radha and Krishna or Lakshmi Narayana. So even here in the material world, this is the point to understand that even here, we can be only happy if we assist Lakshmi Narayana meeting with each other. The form and the substance.
Wow, you're saying
the substance that represents Narayana, the form that's the Lakshmi.
The substance is.
This is the Krishna's potency.
You say that again. The substance is Narayana, and the form is Lakshmi.
Yeah, the form represents Lakshmi.
So Narayana is the. Narayana is the
substance. Substance means the potency.
Narayana is the
energy.
Is he the brush? And then whenever we sweep the floor, how we do that, then that's Lakshmi. The Lakshmi and Narayana like that. Is that correct?
No, the point is that you can only be happy, the soul can only be happy by assisting in the service of Lakshmi to Narayana, or assisting in the service of Radha to Krishna.
But I try to understand how to apply it practically. Not just
this is the practical application. Then only by serving.
Yeah. So the brush, the paraphernalia, this is Narayana, and then engaging in activity, then that's Lakshmi. You have to bring those two together, right? No,
it's the opposite. The form of the cleaning of utensils, see, that represents Lakshmi, and then the potency to create cleanliness, so that's Narayana. So when you use it properly, then it's used properly in bringing cleanliness, then you feel happy about it because you assist in that. So this is the principle that actually you can only be happy if you serve Lakshmi Narayana, serve Radha and Krishna.
You mentioned
this because this is our constitutional position as a servant.
You mentioned form earlier, so in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then we're performing activities. Very often the neophyte devotee is not very absorbed in the Lord. So how to perform the activities with more absorption? So then the form is there, the form can be there, but also the mood. How they develop
The mood here in the material world, because it's a reflection, first you cultivate the form and then the mood develops. And so first you dress like a devotee, you put tilak like a devotee, you chant like a devotee. So with the time you're supposed to become a devotee, having the mood. So it's all about the mood, actually. But that mood is expressed in the form of devotional service. But the mood is supposed to be, we want to please Krishna. That's the proper mood to have. Like, you can, practical example, in the kirtan, like there's like here some kirtanyas, they spontaneously, they bring up some thing they do in their kirtan, and then if you try to imitate it, but we don't have that mood. But because they got that mood, it's spontaneous mood, it just came up.
Yeah.
We try to imitate it in the kirtan, and normally it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We can bring the form even better than the person that we got it from.
Yeah.
But because we don't have the proper mood, the devotional mood, then it doesn't work. So the mood is the main thing. That's what we are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
The pure Krishna consciousness.
But where does that
and it's expressed through the form.
Where is
doing the devotional, practical devotional service.
How does that mood, how can we increase that level of absorption and that mood in the devotional practices? That's my question.
By hearing from the pure devotees, Shravan. We have a few minutes left. Is that clear? It all comes down to the association of pure devotees and serving them. And so in their association, you get to hear Krishna Katha. So by that, your consciousness gets purified. And then Krishna can appear in your heart.
What is it that distracts the neophyte devotee from concentration on the Supreme Lord?
Yeah, there's different things. They're called anarthas, the unwanted desires. And there are four kinds of anarthas. So I will not mention the Sanskrit terms, but basically the anarthas coming from pious activities, anarthas coming from impious activities, anarthas coming from performing devotional service. And just one more. Yeah, and anarthas coming from offenses. There's four kinds of anarthas. So these anarthas, they distract practicing devotee, the sadhaka. So we have to get rid of these anarthas by receiving initiation from the spiritual master. And then practicing bhajana kriya process, we get purified, and then anartha nivritti. When we come to the platform nishtha, the steady devotional service, then we can steadily get completely rid of all the anarthas among the desires. But it all comes down to association of pure devotees.
What is that anartha from practicing devotional service?
There's a whole list. We don't have the time now because we want to start here tomorrow. So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Anatta Kuti Vaishnavrinda ki.